This is 105.9 The Region, and you're listening to Discovery, the radio show for podcasters. Your content, unfiltered. This is Discovery.
Hello, and welcome back to Discovery. I'm your host, Cal Steiger. On this episode, we have mental health moments with our very own Phil McCabe, followed by the new music podcast with our very own Christina LaVecchia. Mental health moments is all about sharing stories with the purpose of reflecting, gaining some perspective, and comforting you, the listener, in knowing that you're not alone. Christina follows up showing off Canadian artists and highlighting their new music. Take her away, Phil.
This is Mental Health Moments, the podcast dedicated to breaking down barriers and sharing your stories. Brought to you by 105.9 The Region.
Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Mental Health Moments. I am your host, Phil McCabe, and this is brought to you by 105.9 The Region. Now, I know it's been a while, so I wanted to remind you folks out there in Radio Land, before we get into the nuts and bolts of today's conversation, that if you're looking for Discovery, the wonderful radio show that hosts this podcast, it's on all major podcast platforms. It's true if you're an Amazon person, a Spotify person, an Apple person, Audible, really wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you can get Discovery, the radio show for podcasters. It's true. Check it out. Well, howdy there, stranger. It's been a while. I'm happy to be spending the next couple minutes with you. And you're probably asking yourself, Phil, what are you talking about today? That is a great question. In short, we're going to be doing a check-in of sorts with one another. And now you're asking yourself, how the hell are we going to do a check-in with one another when you're just a voice on the radio and we can't actually talk to each other? Well, that is another great question. I'm not literally going to be checking in with you, but rather I'm going to open up about some of the stuff and things going on in my world, in my life, and my hope, my dream, my want, my desire is that somehow my words might resonate with you on a deeper level, and that maybe a story I'm telling is able to have an impact on your day. So bear with me for the next couple minutes, and I promise it'll be worth it. Now, I wanted to kick things off with probably the biggest change in my life since we spoke last. It's been a while, but I decided that I'm going to quit drinking. And as much as this was a decision I made, I want to be perfectly clear that I'm never going to preach that others need to follow suit, you know, to each their own. So, yeah, if you want to keep drinking, by all means, that's a decision each individual has to make. But with that said, bear with me as I detail my reasons why. Whether or not you buy into the idea that alcoholism is hereditary, my family was a big factor in this decision. If you're a long-term listener of this podcast, you'll recall that I've spoken at length about sobriety with my father. And, you know, he's been a guiding light of sorts, offering his point of view through all of this. And it would be a lie to suggest that his story didn't impact my decision to retire from the drinking world. But it goes so much further than that. The more I looked inward, the more I reflected on my relationship with drinking, the more I came to realize that there was just an obsession. I had a loved one ask me, "Oh, were you really drinking that much?" And the answer to that, in all honesty, is no. No, I wasn't. But as I said to them, I will repeat here, I felt as though for years I had been feeling the negatives of drinking and I had been feeling bad when drinking. It wasn't a positive experience for me anymore. And it was very much a negative, both physically and mentally. And for some reason, I always justified, "Oh, it's okay," with whataboutisms. And I had never gotten behind the wheel drunk, so obviously I didn't have a problem. And, you know, those kinds of excuses were always reason enough for me to push the negative thoughts to the back and be like, "Oh, eventually I'll have fun again with it. Eventually it will be something I can do without it negatively impacting my psychological or physical well-being." Now, to emphasize what I meant by I was having an obsession with drinking, a couple weeks ago I was asked to be the designated driver for my wife, and since I no longer drink, it made perfect sense. Plus, I was happy to help my wife and make sure that she got home safe and all that, of course. But where the obsession made itself known is that she handed me her drink so that she could go tie her shoe or whatever it might have been, I don't fully recall. And the second she turned away from me, my brain went to, "I can have a sip of this and be fine to drive later, and she won't even notice because it's just a sip." Now, to be clear, I'm sure if I had taken that sip, I would have been perfectly fine, but the desire to do so speaks to the bigger picture and that obsession. Even with the commitment to stay dry and drive my partner home, in that moment the drink was in my hand, I was working my way to justifying why I could have a sip and have it not be a problem. Even now, I can admit I didn't want that sip. I just wanted the drink for the sake of having it. Well, let's move on now. The final reason that I decided to give it up is because I started talking to a therapist, and this therapist helped me realize that I wanted to, I just couldn't admit it to myself. Let me pause here for a moment to reiterate that I'm telling my tale as a way to get people thinking and wondering if these things are reflective of their own stories, and maybe that things and concepts that I'm speaking about today could potentially help them. So, the reality is, I started seeing a therapist several months ago, and before we get into the ways that therapy has helped me, I wanted to highlight the why. Similar to my drinking, I think it's important to have the conversation about why you're doing something and not just that you're doing it. So for as long as I can remember, I've had anger issues and frankly, a lot of deep-rooted insecurity, which I learned through therapy, ironically enough, these two things are tied together. Now, my wife is an angel, and in spite of all of the outbursts, all of the overreactions, all of the negative interactions with myself, she was always there for me. And you know what? These issues extended beyond the household. Even here at 105.9 The Region, where we're all a family. That's not an exaggeration. Here at The Region, we are a family. But all that to say, even here at The Region, I was having my anger issues and lashing out at my peers. And you know what? The reality is, in both of these scenarios, it was just not fair or appropriate of me to be putting all of this on my peers to resolve and deal with the fact that I had these issues. I wasn't putting in the work, and that's not fair. So, enter a therapist. I think if you're going down this route, it's a good idea to try and find ones that are best suited for your personal needs. For instance, the one that I started to speak to specializes in guidance as it pertains to work and careers. They very much focused on, you know, the issues I was having and how it translates to a work environment. So that's what I wanted, because I knew that, you know, I can use the coping skills and mechanisms that I'm learning through therapy in both my work life and translate that to how I'm treating my wife and so on. So that's where I focused on that. And I felt as though the struggles I was having always seemed to circle around something to do with my work life. Not to speak on any of my coworkers or anything, but rather scenarios and exchanges that, as I learned, centered around feelings of insecurity. But we'll spare you the minutiae. I just wanted to explain that's why I went with this particular therapist. And you should be, if you choose to go down this route, you should be choosing a therapist that specializes in your area of need. Now, at this point, I'd like to focus on a very pivotal conversation that I had with a therapist. Again, I'm saying they and not using names or anything, because I think that's part of the therapy process, that like this is these are conversations and moments between myself and them, and I don't wish to share their name out there, because you know it kind of violates the relationship that we've built, but I am willing to share some of the insights. So all that to say, early on in our conversations, I said something to the effect of, I'm just so tired of being angry all the time. And this therapist jumped in to say that, Phil, you're choosing to be mad. It may be a split-second decision, but it's a decision nonetheless. And before we go on, the irony of this exchange is that I reacted pretty angrily and almost immediately was like, oh, yeah, you might be onto something there, because it was like, hey, no, I'm not angry. Oh, yeah, there it is. And you know what? With the benefit of hindsight, it's fair to say that I found this exchange particularly transformative, because my therapist was right. For as long as I can remember, I have unintentionally on purpose absolved myself of blame, always pointing the finger at the person or the thing that was causing me to be upset, and never at myself for being upset. You know, obviously it's okay to feel these negative emotions, obviously it's okay to be upset, angry, whatever it might be, but it's how you react to it, is how you handle it that that I was not doing. I wasn't handling it. I was going to a place of anger. I was going to a place of upset, and then just saying, well, it's their fault. It's their problem. They need to change. And that's just simply not the case. Now, I'll spare you the intimate details of what led to me training myself to choose to be mad for all those years, but I will say that essentially I was perceiving things in a way that these moments in time somehow felt like an attack on me as a person, an attack on me the professional, an attack on me the husband, and so on and so forth. Like, I always turned things in such a way that it felt like I was being wronged, so therefore me being angry is now justified. And this was very cyclical. This continues even to this day. I'm just now trying to lead from a place of empathy and changing my perspective that I can have these moments and not be upset about them. At the end of the day, I think as a whole, therapy is a wonderful tool for anyone to use, especially for those of us that struggle. And you know what? Similarly to my problems with alcohol, I will say to each their own, if therapy is not for you, it's not for you. I'm, again, just trying to paint a picture of the different ideas and thoughts that are out there. And if this is something that interests you, there's lots of wonderful resources out there for you to explore in both of these cases, both alcoholism, the need for therapy, whatever it is you think you might need for your mental health challenges. There is things out there, so please don't hesitate to look for them. Now, to be crystal clear, I can't speak on the styles and methods of every therapist in existence because I haven't met every therapist in existence, nor does my opinion really carry a lot of weight in the therapy world. But I can say that in my experience, 90% of what this particular therapist did for me and could potentially do for you is they steer me into a positive direction. Using the example of you're choosing to be mad. This moment, this exchange, was not the therapist telling me anything I didn't know, but rather just getting me to shift my perspective a little bit, to look at it from a different point of view. Because as I've admitted several times throughout this series and even several times in this episode, I always came from an angle, I always came from an approach of, well, something or someone has wronged me, so that's why it's okay for me to be angry. And it took this particular conversation, this note of, no, this is, you have a role in this. This is a you thing, for me to pull the lens back and be like, okay, maybe I am responsible for this. And even if someone has said or done something that's upset me or what have you, the reality is I'm choosing that negative reaction. It's okay to feel those negative reactions, but to stay in that, to stay angry and upset is just not doing anyone any favors. Well, that about does it for us today, but thank you so much for listening. If you liked it, you can find this episode on Discovery, the radio show for podcasters, on all major podcast platforms. Again, if you're a Spotify person, an Audible person, an Apple Music person, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you can get Discovery, the radio show for podcasters. So thank you for that. Enjoy the rest of your day. And coming up right now is Christina Lavecchia, our wonderful music director, with a new music podcast. It's going to be a great one. You won't want to miss it. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health concerns, contact a local agency near you. This has been Mental Health Moments, brought to you by 105.9 The Region.
Here is Christina with the new music podcast.
You're listening to New Music on The Region. I'm your host, Christina Lavecchia, music director at 105.9 The Region. One of our favorite things to do at The Region is introduce you, the listeners, to music artists from in and around York Region. This episode, we have new music from Quiet Love and Kira DiPietro. You're listening to New Music on The Region podcast.
105.9 The Region, York Region's only local radio station. Listen live on any smart speaker for the stories that matter to you and music from the 80s, 90s, and now.
The music is great.
At home, in the car, or on any device. 105.9 The Region.
That was a little bit of Vancouver-based artist Kiera DiPietro's latest release, Cass's Song. We spoke with Kiera about the single and its inspiration.
It is inspired by something. It's inspired by my last relationship. Basically, the idea of the song is it's kind of an intimate portrayal of experiencing losing the love of your life, but also watching them fall in love with someone else. And then it basically, long story short, I come around and I see my ex after about like a year of not seeing her, not talking to her. We kind of reconnect. We're chit-chatting. We're telling each other about the last year of our lives. And then I realize that she's not talking about me anymore. She's not in love with me. Her stories aren't about me. They're about this new person. And it's just like the emotional vulnerability of that moment. And I want like listeners to recognize and fully be immersed in that experience. And I think it is so relatable. I feel like that happens to lots of people when you feel like someone's slipping. The song title was definitely a bold choice. It is her name. So, so I went back and forth about it. And then I just want to be such an authentic artist. And I don't like to hide stories. I did release a song before Cass's Song. It was also about her. And I had a lot of questions from, I come from like a small town in Sudbury. So everybody kind of knew the situation and people were guessing who it was about. People would ask me and I kind of made a joke to my friends. I'm like, the next song, I'm just going to name it her name so people stop asking me. And I actually did it. So I'm not sure how I feel still, but yeah, I just wanted to be authentic and I want to stick to that. I don't want to start changing lyrics so that people wouldn't find out who it's about. I'm just like, it's very real. The story is very real and it's exactly what happened.
Here it is, Cass's Song by Kiera DiPietro.
You seem so familiar, like a page I've already read. There's creases in the places where my why should I describe what it feels like to be in love with you this old and die? When you told me you didn't owe me anything, and I feel like I'm losing my mind sometimes. I know what's coming next, and you told me you didn't owe me anything. I feel like I'm losing my mind. Been in love with you this whole damn time. And I'm losing my mind. And I've been in love with you this whole damn time. And I keep losing my mind. Sometimes. My mind.
New music. New music on 105.9 The Region.
You're listening to New Music on The Region podcast.
Why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta look so sad? Can I be honest? It's kinda cold-hearted.
In case you missed it, Toronto-based artist Quiet Love visited us here at 105.9 The Region. He shared how he got started in the industry and his latest track, Cold-Hearted.
So I've been in it for a little bit, 10 years or so. Basically started like in middle school, just like, you know, messing around with music and doing like instrumental tracks. I hadn't had like found my voice yet, and it just kind of transitioned into, oh hey, I have a voice. I was writing like words and like poems and stuff. Super embarrassing. It's on YouTube. So yeah, that just kind of like spawned into writing songs, and I was in a band called Navigate the Sky, and COVID hit, and I was stuck with all these songs, and I decided to release them to the world. Like, we're not getting younger. And that was 2021. All those demos that I was working on during the pandemic, I just decided to release as Quiet Love, as a solo project. And Cold-Hearted, I like to say, is like the cold shoulder in song form. That was like the idea of when I wrote it. I was thinking of like, I was getting a cold shoulder at that point. It was just a situation where, you know, you're kind of like, you feel like the cold shoulder from somebody, and it's like, I know you feel this way, and it's like, yeah. No, you don't. So like, lyrics from that song, like, why you gotta be like that, like, what, like, that all stemmed from, you know, certain situations that happened. And
to check out Quiet Love's live performance, head on over to her Instagram at the 905 Region. This is Cold-Hearted by Quiet Love. You're listening to New Music on the Region podcast.
Find me where the light is. Lock me in a crisis. Play me like a psychic. Used to be my side chick. Why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta look so sad? Can I be honest? It's kinda cold-hearted. Why you gotta be so bad? Why you gotta look like that? Can I be honest? It's kinda cold-hearted. So this is how the night ends. Loving you is violent.
Thank you so much for listening. That's our show for this week. If you missed any part of this episode or want to hear any of our past episodes, get your ears over to 105.9 The Region and find Discovery under the podcast tab. Discovery can also be found in the same place you get your favorite podcasts. Ta-ta.
Discovery, the radio show for podcasters, exclusive to 105.9 The Region. Expand your audience and extend your reach. Send us your podcast, info@1059theregion.com.